Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So Jesus is busy teaching, and the Pharisees want to know when the kingdom of God was going to come. And his response is just absolutely amazing. I love it. He says that the kingdom of God does not come with observation. He goes on to say that the kingdom of God is within you. I can assure you that that must have rocked those Pharisees right out of their own dimension. They probably thought, this is insanity. And then Jesus goes on and he begins to explain when he will return. He begins to explain what it will be like on the earth when he returns, starting to prepare his disciples. But it's amazing because whenever Jesus speaks to his disciples, he's speaking to you and I. And it always amazes me how he can speak to them and it feels like he's speaking to us right now. Like he knew exactly how to say what he said at that moment so that it would be absolutely appropriate for us right now. That's why the Bible is called the Living Word. Because it still has the same power and effect that it did when he was speaking directly to the disciples of those days, of that day. When he speaks now through his word, it's almost like it's identical. There's no change because the word never changes. That's why the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, because it never changes. The same effect that it had 2,000 years ago, it has right now. And so I'm very excited about that. But this is what he says to his disciples in Luke 17, verse 26. Luke 17, verse 26. And it's interesting because what I'm going to be ministering tonight on, I'm going to leave a portion of scripture out. And tomorrow I'm going to be going right there to speak to you about what I'll share with you tomorrow. And the messages have nothing to do with each other. But it's going to be interesting. So Luke 17, 26. And this is what Jesus says. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Everyone say revealed. In that day, he who is in the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. And then he says something profound. He says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And we're going to take a look at the story of Lot's wife. And then we're going to go and take a look at another story. And I have something I want to share with you tonight that I believe God is, you know, right now God is really speaking to me about faith. And I've, you know, over the years, I'll speak about faith like once a year. Over the last few weeks, I've spoken about faith a lot. And I'll be talking about faith tomorrow as well. Because I believe God is increasing the church's faith right now. I believe God is preparing us for what he has for us. And like, I'm like so excited. Because I know what that means. See, if faith goes up, everything goes up. As our faith begins to increase, so we begin to see more of who God is. In our lives, in our church, in our city, even in our nation. And that to me is extremely exciting. And so I believe that God is wanting us to increase our faith. And so we're going to take a look at one of the things tonight that I believe is one of the obstacles, one of the greatest obstacles to faith. And we're going to see how Lot's wife played right into this. But most of you know the story, and I'll kind of give you just a little bit of background. Abraham is busy with his family and two angels come to meet him and he begins to speak to the angels and the angels tell him that they're going to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as he begins to do this, Abraham begins to negotiate with the angel of the Lord. He begins to negotiate with this angel about not destroying the city. And what begins to happen is there's a conversation of, you know, if there's so many righteous people, 45 righteous people, will you spare the city? Yes, I'll spare the city. If there's 40 righteous people, will you spare the city? Yes, I'll spare the city. And it goes all the way down to 10 people. Eventually, the two angels begin to walk, and they begin to go towards the city to go and destroy the city. Because there wasn't even 10 righteous people in that city. And when they get to the city, this is what happens. Genesis 19, verse number 1. Genesis 19, verse number 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself to the face with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Now, hear now, my lords, please turn to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may arise early and go on your way." And he said, and they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered his house. And when he had made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, they ate. I'm going to stop there. I want you to know that we can see from this, and if you understand that time, the gate of the city was one of the busiest places in the city, and normally the people that were businessmen and they would have meetings at the gate of the city. So Lot was hanging out at the gate of the city with his friends, and probably some people that were important in the city would have meetings there. And so he sees these two angels coming to the city, and he obviously recognizes that these are not ordinary men. You know, I'm not going to get into all of that tonight. So anyway, so he sees these two men coming into the city, recognizes that they are not normal men, takes them to his house, invites them to his house, and then something happens. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city and men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may know them carnally." Now, do I need to explain what that means? Or do you all know what it means to know someone carnally? Hello? Do you all understand? To know them carnally means that these men wanted to know these angels, these men that had come into their home, into Lot's home, wanted to know them carnally. And that's interesting because it actually tells us that it was both young and old men, which means that these young and old men were practicing sexual things that were obviously completely inappropriate. But they had this lust, this incredible lust, and they wanted these two angels, they wanted these two men. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, so Lot went out to them through the doorway. So imagine it now, he goes through the door and the Bible says that he shut the door behind him. So he goes to the door. He knows these guys because most of them are the businessmen and the people in the city. He gets to the door. He opens the door. The angels are behind him. He closes the door behind him. "Brothers, my brothers, what are you doing here? I've got some guests over." In other words, he knew what these men were like. And he knew that they didn't come to his house with good intentions. And look at what he says. And said, please, my brethren. You see, you thought when I was saying brothers, I was kidding. Brethren means brothers. "Please, my brothers, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." So I want you to see that Lot is negotiating with these men because he knows how wicked they are, to the point where he's willing to pimp off his own daughters. I don't know about you, but that's pretty bad. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I don't know, I'm just not going to say anything. It's just, yeah, you know. But that, I mean, can you imagine? You know, he's made a decision. He says, listen, you know, you can just take my daughters. You know, it shows you how wicked that generation of people were in that city. You know, that he was willing to actually give his daughters away is just, to me, just absolutely unbelievable. In verse number 9, it says, and they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So now they actually turn on him. They get all upset with him. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands, now this is the angels, and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they became weary to try find the door. I want you to picture this, okay? Now we know that these were not ordinary men, because all of a sudden, you know, they pull Lot into the house. Thank you so much for being honorable and doing the right thing, even though it's the wrong thing, but it's the right thing, however you see it. Bring them into the house. And they strike these men with blindness. Tomorrow I'm going to talk to you why they didn't just kill them. There's a reason why they actually didn't just wipe them all out right there. They couldn't do it. It's interesting. I'll share that with you tomorrow. You'll have to come. You've got to come to church now tomorrow. See? I'm going to see if you're here. So we can see that now they're blind. Now watch this. Then the men said to Lot, but before I say that, I want you to see something. Both small and great, they became weary trying to find the door. So in other words, they've been struck with blindness, but they're still trying to find the door. Blind. That's how perverted they had become. That's what lust of that magnitude will do to you. You see, that's what happens when the world gets to a place where they get so dark and so evil that nothing satisfies them, to the point where they actually lose their sight, that they can't control their lust, that they still look for the door. Isn't that unbelievable? Now you know why God wiped the city out. But what you may not know, some of you, is that there was a whole lot of stuff. When it comes to angels, there's a whole other story there. Tomorrow I'll talk a little bit about that. So it's pretty bad. Verse 12, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. For we will destroy this place. Because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his son-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Even his son-in-law had a bad attitude. I mean, the guys that are busy breaking down the door of the house. Lot's been warned, get out of the city, we're about to destroy it. His son-in-law thinks, listen, this is a joke. And verse 15, it says, and when morning dawned, the angels uttered Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, everybody say lingered. 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 Well, you know, Pastor Alex, I've got time to change. Well, you know, I don't have to worry now. You know, I'm going to just, you know, first go for counseling. You know, I just need some counseling. Just a little bit of counseling, you know. Maybe in about 6 months, I'll decide to change. You see, with what's about to happen on the earth, there is no time to linger anymore. There is no time for us to linger anymore. God is about to do something so powerful on the earth. This morning in the prayer meeting, guys, the presence of God was so strong in this building. Either it was like that or I was on some different place in heaven. But one of the two was happening. And all I can tell you is I know what's about to happen on the earth. And we have to be ready. But we cannot have that attitude. Well, you know, I've got lots of time. I've got lots of time. Let me just linger. He's been warned. The city's about to be destroyed. You need to get out of the city. We need to wipe the city out. Judgment is coming. Let me tell you something. I know this is not popular, but judgment is coming. Judgment is coming to the earth. Thank God we will not be part of that judgment. Amen. Let me say to you this. I believe, wow, with all of my heart. What are you doing, Kyle? You know, it's because Ashley's there with you in the sound booth. Ashley, you're forbidden to be in the sound booth. Now I don't even remember what I was saying. Lingering. Judgment is coming. I'm going to show you tomorrow just how powerful God's righteousness is on your life. But we have to make a decision. We have to be serious about the things of God. I believe so. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that God placed me here with you guys as your pastor. I cannot tell you how thankful I am. This morning, I don't even know how many people were here at prayer on a Saturday morning, early in the morning. And we've been praying for nearly 40 days. It's like 1 week left. And every morning there's at least 40 people in this place that come out to pray every morning. It's unbelievable. Those of you that can sleep an hour later and don't have to go to work, you come on Saturdays. And it's awesome. It's awesome. And we see people praying and hungry for God. But I want to encourage you, because many of you are going to miss. You're going to miss what He has for you before He comes again, or before you end up leaving this earth. You're going to miss it because you don't want to stop. You don't want to let go of the things that are just causing you to compromise. What we do is we do what Lot's doing. We linger. We linger. Well, you know, just one more time, just one more thing. You know, God will understand. Are you with me? And so He's lingering. Now watch what the angel does, because I really love, this is what I love about God. He doesn't mess around. Then the men took hold of His arm and His wife's hand and the hands of His two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that He said, escape for your life. Now watch, and do not look behind you. Everybody say, do not look back. Say, do not look back. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. And we're going to skip a few verses and go to verse 24. So the angels have said to them, listen, you've been taken out of the city. You've been taken out of this wicked place. I don't want you to look back. Don't look back anymore. Okay? Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So He overthrew those cities, all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. So that place was wiped out. Now watch. But His wife looked back behind Him, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked behind. She looked back. She wanted to go back. there was things in that city that she enjoyed. There are things in that city she didn't want to let go of. There are things in that city that she just wanted to hold on to. Just one more time. Just one more drink. Just one more fix. Just one more. Just one more. Just one more. And the Bible says that she was turned into a pillar of salt. Some of the scholars that I've listened to and read have said this. They suggest that the reason why she turned into a pillar of salt is because those brimstone fireballs that would come down, when they would hit you, they would utterly destroy you. So it's almost like she wouldn't leave properly. And she was too close to the city, perhaps. We don't know for sure. But how did she turn into a pillar of salt? But she did. She was utterly wiped out. She was utterly destroyed, is what it's basically telling you. And the reason why is because she did not want to let go of the past. She did not want to let go of those things that she had before. Listen, God was saying that life, that world, that lifestyle, that way, that I'm judging, that I'm coming against, you've got to get rid of it. Don't look back. Don't go back there anymore. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. Are you with me? And he says, the angel warned them and said, listen, don't look back. Thank goodness Lot was, he's running. But his wife wasn't quite there. She was still holding on. You see, when you begin to follow Jesus, that means you have to make decisions. You've got to leave that stuff behind you. Are you with me, guys? And so we see that because of the choices that she made, by turning back, by wanting, by desiring, by looking back, that she was utterly destroyed. It's interesting. I'll share with you tomorrow why the city was only destroyed when Lot left. It's very powerful. Now, let's go to Numbers 14, verse number 1. Are you okay? Okay. Numbers 14, verse number 1. You all know the story very well. Moses sends Joshua and Aaron and the spies to go and check out the land. They come back. The spies have a negative report. They tell them how bad it is and the giants and all this. Joshua and Caleb have a good report. But I want you to see what the children of Israel do after they have the report. They have the good report. They have the bad report. The one report says the land is beautiful. The land is land of milk and honey. Let's go wipe out the giants. The other report is, listen, it's dark, it's hard, it's difficult. We're not going to be able to do it. And so Numbers 14, verse number 1 says this. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation, everybody say the whole congregation. Let that not be our congregation. Amen. Said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. You see, immediately what they're doing is they're saying, listen, it's been so difficult. This is impossible. We're not going to be able to do it. Let's go back to our previous life. Let's go back to the things we had before. Let's go back to those things that we were doing before. And I don't know how many of you know Egypt was really bad. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. What are they saying? They're saying, let's go back to our old life. Let's go back to the way things were before. Now, many people believe that when they speak about the promised land, yeah, that speaks of eternity. But a lot of scholars believe that that speaks about your promises. And a lot of those promises are actually referring to your promises here on earth. And the reason why they say that, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is because when they went into the promised land, how many of you know that's when the real battle began? You see, most of us think that when we finally make it to whatever God's called us to do, that now it's going to be easy. Let me tell you, when you get there, get ready. But the thing is that you will never even know what that is when you still have a desire to go back to Egypt. when you're still looking back, when you still think that's the way to go. And so because of their complaining, the Bible tells us that they ended up not inheriting their promise. You see, if we're always looking back to Egypt, if we're always looking back to what we used to live like and the things of this world, if we're drawn back to it the whole time, we will not inherit what God has for us. Are you with me? Now watch what he says, because this is so powerful. Let's go to the book of Hebrews 3, verse number 12. Hebrews 3, verse number 12. Watch. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Wow. In departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Everybody say today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. We're not going to linger anymore. Today. Everyone say today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, you must understand that sin and the things of this world that have pulled you or pull you, they deceive you. It's deceit. And what it does is it hardens your heart. Now let's go to verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Everybody say, I'm going to make it to the end. Come on, say it like you believe it. I'm going to make it to the end. While it is said today, everybody say today. Come on, say today. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? So he's asking the question. Who is it that rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he wouldn't that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. Everyone said did not obey. I want you to see it. Don't record me now. I know you love you listening to another sermon. This is so powerful to me. Because it's telling us that they sinned against God. And we can tell. I mean, if you go study, if you go back to the book of Numbers, you'll see just how angry God got. And the reason why he gets angry is because they got two reports. The one report confirmed God's promises to them. In other words, listen, you're on the edge. You're about to inherit the promises of God. You've been walking in the wilderness, but now you're about to cross over into the promised land. But they chose to listen to the negative report. Why did they do that? They did it because they didn't believe God's promises. They didn't believe God's provision. They didn't believe God's protection. And so God got so angry that he said, you will all die in the wilderness. And the next generation I will give this promise to. I don't want to be that generation that dies in the wilderness. Listen to me, because I kept on looking back. Because I chose to rather choose to go for that sin, rather choose to hold resentment in my heart, rather choose to hold unforgiveness. Don't let it go. Don't you want to step into what he has for you? What will you believe? I cannot convince you to change. Only one thing can cause you to change, and that's his word. But what is it that causes you to not receive his word? What is it that causes us to continue to sin? Go to the next verse. So we see that they could not enter in because of, it wasn't their sin, it was their unbelief. Their unbelief caused them to sin. It's because they didn't believe. Why did Lot's wife look back? Because she didn't believe. She didn't believe. Even after these angels had said to them, I'm going to take you out and you mustn't look back, she didn't believe. So she looked back. Listen, if you believe, you're not going to look back. You have to make a decision. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, what if? I don't want to hear your what if. What does the word of God say? What does it say? It says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It says he'll protect you. It says he'll get you through. Listen, they went into the promised land and they fought one battle after another. And they had victory after victory after victory. Why? Why did they have those victories? Because he said they would. Because he said they would. You need to let go of the past. You need to let go of that addiction. You need to let go of that sexual sin. You need to let go of those other women that you're looking at. You need to let go of that depression. You need to let go of that resentment. You need to let go of that anger. You need to stop looking back because it's preventing you from entering into his promises. It's preventing you from entering into what God has for you. There is only one thing required. Only one thing. We have to believe. That's why Jesus, when he stood after his disciples could not cast the demon out of the child, he looked and he stood over the cities where he performed many miracles and he began to prophesy and he said, how long will I deal with this generation? And he was referring to a people that had unbelief. He was referring to a generation that did not believe in his word, that did not believe in his promises. Jesus was speaking not only about what had just happened, but what had happened 200 years ago and 400 years ago and 600 years ago and 1,000 years ago, because they still didn't believe. They still didn't trust. How do we know? Because they sinned. Why did they sin? Because they didn't believe. You will still sin. You will. Except for me. I never sin. Now I just lied, so I just sin. Well, I can't let go. The reason why you don't let go is because you don't believe. If you believe, you'll let it go. Well, how can I let it go? How can I? What does his word say? If his word says he'll protect you, if his word says he's adopted you. Listen, if you never had a father, if you never had a mother, if you were rejected as a child, let me tell you that he has adopted you. If you give your life to him, he's the best father. He's the best comforter. He's the best protector. He's the best one will take care of you. There's none like him. He's made you promises that he will never let you down. I heard someone say this week something so powerful. They said, well, what if God doesn't keep his promises? I'll still serve him. What did you just say? No, he will keep his promises. He will keep his promises. He does keep his promises. He always honors his word. His word is truth. Somebody give me a Bible. His word is truth. His word is truth. Every promise, every word is yes and amen, and it's yours. You have covenant with him. You have a covenant with him. You need to take that word for yourself. It's the living word. It's the true word. It's the life-changing word. But you have to step by. You have to step out. You have to have faith. Listen, Lot had to have faith to not look back. He had to make a decision to not look back. He may have lingered, but I want you to know. Oh, my God. I want you to know. Oh, I can't share it. I have to wait till tomorrow. You have to wait. If you only knew, if we could only begin to understand, everything that he has done for us to get us to where we are right now. And I'm speaking to you in the now, in this moment right now. There is not one person in this room that is not here, that is here by mistake. You are not here by mistake. God has brought you to this moment at this time, and he wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free, and he wants to set you up for what he has for you. He wants to set you up for what he has for you. But it's time to let go. It's time to stop looking back. Stop looking back. Stop looking back. Start making a decision to run for him. Don't look back anymore. That's why Paul calls it a race. And only one will get the prize, because it's the one that has to run. If you want to win a race and you look back, you're not going to win that race. You have to look forward. You have to keep running. You have to keep going. And if you fall, you get up and you keep on going. You don't lie down. You don't look back. You don't look at your sore, your knees, your how bad it was. You get up and you keep going. You keep going, but you don't look back. Don't look back anymore. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a clap and a shout in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We know your word is true. We know every word is true. If you said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what some say. I believe what you say. I believe what your word says. Your word is truth. Father, tonight in this place, I pray that faith will increase even now in this room. Father, faith that will cause us to not look back anymore. Faith that will cause us to overcome that addiction. Faith that will cause us to overcome that sin. Faith that will cause us to overcome that all the different issues, all the different things. I pray tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you raise us up. That you raise us up, and that we will be like Joshua and Caleb. And Father, we will say, come, let us go and take this land, because we know what you have said in your word. Father, let us be like Lot, that went and began to look and look forward, and he didn't look back. Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise and all the glory and honor tonight for every single person in this place. Right now. Right now. And I thank you for it, Lord. Whether you're in this place or you're watching online right now, I can tell you that there is such an urgency in the Spirit. God wants to do something amazing with your life. He has called you by name for such a time as this. Don't look back anymore. Don't desire to go back to the things of this world when God has promises for you to rule and to reign. Your identity is not in who you were. Your identity is in who he is. And he is an overcomer. He has overcome. And because he's overcome and you're in him, you too will overcome. You will overcome every obstacle. You will overcome every challenge. You will overcome every devil. Yes, you will. You will overcome. Father, tonight I give you thanks. I give you praise and all the glory and honor. Lord, let it be. Let it be, Lord. Like it was with Paul. When he encountered you, he didn't look back, Lord. Don't let us look back. Let us have a hunger and a thirst and a desire and a passion to serve you with all of our hearts. No setback will cause us to look back. We'll just keep going. And Father, there are things we don't see, but we have heard. We have heard. It is written. It is written. And what is written will be. Because what you say must be. And so we give you thanks. We give you praise and all the glory and honor. Right now, in this place, if you've been struggling, If you've been struggling right there where you are, I'm not going to call you out. If you've been struggling and you've been pulled back by the things of this world, just lift your hand real quick for me so I can see where you are. God bless you guys. So many hands going up everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Make a decision tonight. Make a decision to no longer look back, but to look forward. To look forward. To grab a hold of what He has for you. Resentment, anger, fear, whatever it is that's caused you to never have a breakthrough. To never have that breakthrough that He has for you. To maybe it's what, like maybe it's like Lot's wife looking back at the things that she had, wanting to go back there. Can I ask you tonight, don't look back anymore. Look forward. Keep your eyes on what He has. You know, whenever there's a promise, you have to believe it by faith before you get it. You have to step out. Because in the spirit, you already have it, but you have to bring it into the natural. And the ingredient that brings it into the natural is faith. Where there's no faith, it's impossible to please God. But tonight, you can start by making a decision, by making a choice to just serve Him with your whole heart. No more compromise. I never said you need to be perfect. He already knew and did everything that He needed to make sure that you would survive with your imperfections. But it's that desire that He's looking for. It's that hunger that He's looking for. It's that thirst that He's looking for. And if you go to the right source, when you feel that way, when you have a hunger and a thirst, when you go to Him, the Bible promises that He will fill you. He will fill you up. He will refresh you. He will strengthen you if you go to Him. So tonight in this place, if that's you, you say, Pastor Alex, that's just been rough. I've just haven't been able to overcome. I'm not calling you to the front. I want you to speak to God right there where you are in your chair. Right there where you are. But I want to ask you, if you say, I need to make my life right, I need to give my heart, I want to include you in this prayer. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need to commit my life to Him. I've been running. Quickly slip your hand up so I can pray for you too. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you in the back. Thank you. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. If you want me to include you in this prayer, lift your hand real quick. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Can we all stand for just a moment? We're going to pray a prayer together. Well, what's a prayer? A prayer is a declaration of what we believe. In other words, by praying this prayer, you are exercising your faith. It means you've already taken that first step. And so it means a lot. But the thing is, the Bible says that you serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So it has to be something that comes from your heart. So don't just say the words, but believe them in your heart. And the Bible says that if you believe and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you will be saved. And the word saved there actually means so much. The word saved there speaks of salvation in sense of your name will be written in the book of life. You will be saved. But it also speaks of healing. It speaks of deliverance. What that means is that God will take you out of your situation right now. And He'll strengthen you, He'll refresh you, He'll renew you. You can't pray this prayer enough. I've prayed it 100 times, and every time I pray it, I mean it from my heart. So let's all pray this prayer. But if you lifted your hand, please, I want you to pray it from the bottom of your heart tonight. Let's all pray together. Father, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, I'm tired of looking back. Tonight, I look to you, Lord. And I believe that Jesus died and rose again. He is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Make me whole tonight. Save me tonight. Heal me tonight. deliver me tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give my life to you. Now give the Lord a clap and a shout. Give the Lord a clap and a shout. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap and a shout. Come on. You can do a little bit better than that. Give the Lord a clap and a shout in this place. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.